make friends with everybody. If you want to stain fences, go find the guys who build them. Make friends with them. You've got to go out there, and if there's 200 fence builders in your town, you better talk to every one of them.
All right, I wish I would have known today's guest many, many, many years ago when I started my first business, a painting company outside of Chicago, because whenever we had to do a fence or a deck, like staining of a fence or a deck, I totally got my butt kicked because I was too stupid to figure the game out of how to bid and produce them profitably. And so today's guest is Caleb Roth. He is he's the founder at Stain and Seal Experts in Nashville, Tennessee. And so they stain decks and fences and all that other stuff. They also make their own product, which is cool. And then also, one of the reasons I wanted to bring him on here today was for him to talk a little bit about his podcast, Stain and Seal Experts. Because he's out there plugging that message, helping guys be more successful in that industry. So, had a good time hanging with Caleb. I actually connected him with one of my business partners down there in Nashville, and they're going to be hanging out and drinking a beer here pretty soon. But anyway, here's my conversation with Caleb Roth of Stain and Seal Experts. Caleb Roth, what's up, my man?
Hey, man, I'm so glad to be here. Sitting here waiting for the new year to roll in and just excited to be on your podcast, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited that you're here. We were kind of joking before we hit record here that when I was a painting contractor outside of Chicago, I could not make money staining a fence to save my life. And it's because I always screwed up the material bid. Seriously, man, I could bid the crap out of just about anything, but you give me a fence and for some reason, I don't know. You know what it is? Here's what it is. I'm going to let myself off the hook. We just didn't do enough of them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what it is, right? I didn't do enough of them. So the ones I did, I lost my butt. And then, so what would happen is I'd be like, well, I lost my butt. So the next fence, I would just triple my price or whatever, and then not get it.
Yep.
I either not get it, not get the job, or I'd lose my tail.
So, that's just staying in that comfort zone, isn't it?
It is, man. It is. I'm picturing this one fence in particular that, I don't know. The funny thing is I could have charged anything I wanted for this fence. This dude would have paid it, and I shot myself in the foot. So how did we get here? Stain and Seal Experts, man. What is it? What do you do? I know we're going to talk about your podcast a little bit and stuff, but give us the history of how you ended up where you're at right now.
Well, a quick history. I'm a fairly young guy. I'm 30 years old. I started out, I grew up in the fence industry. My family still is in the fence business, got a big fence company here in Nashville. And when I was 18 years old, my dad said, hey, why don't you, you've worked for a couple of other old salty guys that are pretty rough. And, you know, my dad made me work for other people first. So he said, you can come to work for me now. So 18 years old, he hands me the keys to this business. I go make my first sale and he says, all right, you got it. Have fun. And so he went off and he didn't retire, but he made himself scarce in the business, and you know, which scared me, but it was a good thing for me. But I grew that business and I found that it got really competitive in that 08 crash or whatever. And so I made friends with architects and high-end builders, and I just started going for the high-end jobs and got lucky and started doing that. And but the whole time I was looking for something on the side, something to make that extra side money, started staining fences. And the first year, you know, it was nice and fun. And I realized real quick, hey, I need to go full-time with this. And I did. I made the leap and haven't looked back since. But we stain a lot of fences all over Nashville and Middle Tennessee. We do decks, fences, stuff like that. And I've gone kind of from a little owner-operator business to having some good guys that go and take care of things for me. And we've got a pre-stained lumber line where we do inside. And, of course, we manufacture stains. And we spend a whole lot of time trying to help other guys go from 0 to 60 in the stain business, because there's no book for it, you know. So maybe we need to write the book, I guess. But
sounds like you do, man, and or you should start the podcast at least, right? Oh, mm-hmm. Wait, you already did that.
There you go.
How was that for a segue? Huh? Pretty.
Oh best. Yeah, yeah.
It's slick, right. Was that slick? I think that was slick.
You planned it, I believe.
So you got a podcast called The Stain and Seal Experts.
Yep, Stain and Seal Experts podcast.
What prompted you to start that? What was the motivation behind that?
Basically, I like to be the first one to do stuff. There were no other stain or paint manufacturers that I knew of that were doing podcasts, and there were no other people teaching the business. We weren't fence builders and we're not painters. So I said I saw the need, and well, I'll back up. I'll tell you how it started. I started out. One thing that I've always done is I find the guy who's been doing it longest and who's most successful in anything, and I call and I ask them all their questions. If you're in Nashville and you call a guy in Lexington or Texas or wherever, they'll usually spill their guts to you.
Yeah.
And I've done that on everything I've ever gotten into, including manufacturing. But I started doing that. I would talk to a stain rep, and they'd say, "Hey, this guy, he's doing $500,000 a year in stain." I'd go, "Wow!" And so I'd call him up on the phone and to pick his brain, and over again, I got the same thing. Was, well, I actually only do this on the side. You know, I did about 30,000 in business last year, and then they'd start asking me questions, and then over and over and over, this same thing started happening. And I said, I know I'm not I'm nowhere near the biggest guy in the country doing this. So I finally did find those humongous companies and talked to those guys, sat down and met them. But I started the podcast to help all those people, cause I saw that there was a need for that. And we've got a Facebook group called the Stain and Seal Experts Fence and Deck Staining University. And now we've got, I guess, 7,500 guys in there, and there's some real knowledge in that group. So we're starting to actually have a little bit of an impact. I'm seeing guys that call us up and say, "Hey, you know, you really helped us," or "I've just sold my first two jobs. Thanks for the help," whatever. So I think we're on the right track.
So let me back up a bit to when you got on the phone and you finally reached the guys that were more successful. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that jumped out at you that really helped you? What did you learn from them?
You know, I probably the biggest thing I learned from them was that it's possible to do this type of business on a bigger scale, and to have these guys got $1 million buildings or stuff. But most of them were, one in particular down in Texas was actually a stain manufacturer and a coatings manufacturer as well. And he had acquired several staining companies. And so more or less, I didn't really dig into their business practices as much as I did just how they're running the show, how they're keeping things going, what type of equipment that they're using. Some of these guys are doing 3,000 and 4,000 fence stain jobs a year. Mm-hmm. And I knew that they had to count on their equipment. So I found out what they were using, and we kind of modeled after that a little bit, but not so much, I guess. We kind of were comfortable with what we were doing as well. So we just kind of took everything together and just put it in our toolbox, you know?
That's good stuff. You already said it, you want to accomplish something, you find somebody who's, kicking butt doing mm-hmm. it, and get them on the phone and pick their brain and then do what they're doing.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, and then try to outdo them if you can, right?
That's right. Your podcast, how has it made your overall stain business better? Like, I've been podcasting for a while, and I can look back at some ways that I've become a better business guy in other areas because of having the podcast. Is anything jumping out at you right now, how you've gotten better since you started the podcast?
Well, I listen to a lot of other podcasts. I've always been one to lead, but I always knew that you have to follow to lead. So I've always, since the beginning of time, all my time spent listening to books, belonging to coaching programs, went to 10X Growth Con. I do all those kind of things. And I think all of that helps. But the main thing I think the podcast has done is it has made me maybe keep my chest poked out a little bit more, knowing that, hey, people are looking at me. So I've got to be successful. I've got to go out and take care of my responsibilities. I think maybe that it's helped in that way, because, when you don't feel like much. And I know I'm such a small guy, but there are other men out here who are looking at me and saying, "Hey, you've helped me feed my family. You've helped me increase or improve my lifestyle." So that makes me feel good. And it gives me a reason to keep my stuff together. If that makes sense.
It totally does. When you put yourself out there like you do on a podcast or YouTube or whatever it is, you can choose to be one of the, one of my partners call them, the charlatans that are out there, the posers, mm-hmm. the real deal. And I choose to do what I can to be the real deal and be open and honest and you know, but it also motivates me to get, you know, to really take what I'm doing more seriously, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Not that you don't already. I don't need a podcast to do that, but it does put a little more pressure on me. So talk about the show a little bit. Like, what's, if somebody tunes in, I assume they can go to iTunes, right? And,
Absolutely. You can go to iTunes. It's just the Stain and Seal Experts podcast. Basically, we started out getting other manufacturers on and letting them give their spiel about how to do the business, what their products are, how to use them. And now we've kind of moved into just more or less mostly staining contractors. We'll call guys on the West Coast and that are doing beautiful work, and they'll tell you how, you know, how we stain these hardwood decks and how we make them look so beautiful, because we don't get that on the East Coast. So we kind of jump around to different areas where things are just out of the normal for others. Like we had ZK Painting on from up in, I believe he's in Rhode Island, mm-hmm. and he's doing, you know, these cedar shake roofs. Well, nobody ever sees those. So those that want to learn how to do them, he got on there and give us, you know, hey, this is how you do them. This is what you do. And we talk about the business side a little bit. One of the things that I really preach, going back to being in the fence business, I got into the high-end projects. And I learned that everybody wants to do the run-of-the-mill job, the easy painting jobs. You were a painting contractor, I guess. Mm-hmm. So everybody wants to do the new homes and stuff. But there's a lot of guys out there that are maybe afraid of the $10 million renovations, the big fancy jobs that are paying. You got to deal with the stay-at-home wife who's got 15 Instagram accounts, who's looking at all these pictures, you know. Some of those jobs are a little difficult, but there is a bigger reward I found in those. So I try to push guys and say, hey, raise your prices, be premium. You know, if you're doing this by yourself, you're not going to be able to do 3,000 jobs a year. You need to niche down to where you're making money, and you need to be the premium guy in town. And so I kind of push that on guys. That's kind of my MO. I try to go high end, because it pays more money. And, but there's, you know, obviously guys out there who've got 75 employees, so they need to spread out a little bit.
So earlier you mentioned, a period of time where you were hitting architects and GCs and builders and things like that. And it's something that we talk about a lot here is, you know, being on the hunt. And I'm just, obviously you've done it in the fence business. You did it with, you know, stain and sealing, you know, stuff like that. And now you're doing it with your manufacturing and all that other stuff. What are some things that you could share with somebody who's listening to this, just about being on the attack and having that mindset, maybe some best practices for somebody like that?
Well, I grew up listening to Zig Ziglar, and he used to say he would go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take tartar sauce with him. And I've always been kind of that same way. You know, I guess maybe I'm a little, very stubborn. My wife would probably tell you I'm really stubborn, but you know, I've gone after contracts, humongous jobs where maybe I spent 2 years driving by, leaving cards, knocking on doors, calling people. And finally, 2 years later, I'll get this huge job. It pays off a bunch of money. I've tried to do things like that. So I've found that persistence works. A lot of people give up after the first try or the second try. And I just, I don't ever do it. I don't ever give up. And, but at the same time, I look at myself and I go, hey, I can improve here. I could be better. I can make more calls. And you were talking about John that works with us earlier. That's one thing I try to push to him is, hey, don't, if they say no, you know, hey, they got to say no before they'll say yes. So keep pushing, keep getting after it. You know, that's it. Just got to stay persistent.
Yeah. How much time do you spend in an average, let's just say average month prospecting?
Probably 100% of my time, I'm either prospecting or thinking about it. You know, I'm laying in bed at night sleeping, thinking about prospecting. I find ways to multitask and do it. If I'm looking at Instagram, you know, unfortunately, social media now is part of our business. We've got to take it seriously. So I may sit on the couch at night with my family. I may message 75 fence contractors across the country and say, hey, your project looks great. Do you stain? Would you like to learn about staining? Try our products, blah, blah, blah. So I think prospecting for me takes up a lot of my time because I like to do sales. That's what I like. I like marketing and putting myself out there. So I spend a lot of time doing it, but I find ways to do it passively, if that makes sense. I'm aggressive, but I also find passive ways to do it.
There's a book I read a while back. It's called Ready, Fire, Aim. And it's about scaling a business, you know, to 100 million and things like that. And one of the biggest lessons I hope people hear, and you're doing it, you know, just what you shared with us, is basically, and this is a guy who's scaled like a dozen businesses to 100 million or more. So he's like, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I need to get his phone number.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, until you're at $10 million, your only priority is sales.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, obviously there's other things that you got to fulfill and all that other stuff, but and now listen, your fence contractor or fence staining guy, who's, you know, he's probably not going to grow a $10 million business. But the concept is, in those first few years, until maybe you're a half a million, until maybe you're 750 or a million, your only priority is selling. You know, it's prospecting, it's marketing, and selling. That's it. Because without that money coming in, you will never be able to do all the other things that you want to do in your business to build your team, make your product better, and all those other things. So anyway, just kind of jumped out.
No, I agree 100% with that. That's why I push the high margin, so I can close that gap faster. And, you know, at the end of the day, your number one goal in business is to make a profit. You can't help anybody if you don't make a profit.
All right. So if you message, say, 50 fence contractors via Instagram, and you're hanging out, right?
Yep.
How many flat out just never reply to you?
Most will never reply until maybe the fourth or fifth message you send them. And if they just are real hard nosed and don't reply, I'm just going to start sharing posts with them. You know, hey, we just put out a podcast. Boom, send it over to them. I can send it to 100 guys in 5 minutes, you know, or 2 minutes. Or 1,000 people in 2 minutes, however. Mm-hmm. And I just keep pushing it. One thing that I notice a lot of people get, it's like this podcast today. I thought you were coming on my podcast, so I had all these questions for you. And you said, no, you're coming on mine. So here we are. I have found that if I sit there and go, oh man, I got to call, you know, the CEO of Yellowwood, you know, man, what am I going to say? I don't worry about that stuff. I just, hey, boom, all of a sudden I'll get the idea. I want to call that guy. I'll call him right then, right on the spot, you know, and I'll find whatever to say. I'll make it happen. And I'm a big proponent of not getting lost in preparation, you know. Yeah. Ready, aim, you know, like you said, ready, fire, aim. That is me to a T. So I would rather just jump on a project, get it done, instead of being tied down by planning and all that kind of stuff. I know some people completely opposite of that, but that's what I try to live by.
Well, you know, if you're sending 50, 75 messages and the majority of people, I want to rewind here, because what I hope people heard you say was, oh, most don't reply until the fourth or fifth time. And so every time they don't reply, that's the same as getting a no.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, and it reminds me, a couple of years ago, I had a guest on the show, Andrea Waltz, and she wrote a book, Go for No. Yes is the destination, no is how you get there.
Exactly.
So the more no's that you get, the more yeses you're going to get, because it means you've developed the habit of asking and prospecting and being, you know, on the hunt, on the attack, versus just sitting back and waiting for things to happen. I mean, you shared about closing deals that, you know, were big dollar projects after a couple of years. It's the same thing. You know, I had a $500,000 a year client that took me 14-15 months to get. And every time I drove by their office, you know, I would pop in. Hey, did your other guy die yet? No. Okay. Here I am. Here's my card again. We already have your card. Yeah. I'll leave it again in case you throw it away. You know, and this went on for over a year until finally, you know,
you were an overnight success.
One of their superintendents was fed up with their painter. You know, they had five superintendents. One of them, it just took one, and it got me in the door.
Yeah.
And I really hope people heard what you said there about just having that consistent action and stuff like that. What's been if you could wave a magic wand over the fence staining, you know, the staining industry, let's say the stain and seal industry, if you could wave a magic wand, what are a couple things that you might address or fix right away?
Well, I'll talk about two things. So part of why we started making stain was because of VOCs and poisons and carcinogens and things that are in stain. That was a real concern to me because every day when I first started, I came home and I had this smell all over me and my kids and wife couldn't touch me. You know, I had to go take a shower. So we made a zero VOC stain. You know, that's a sidetrack. That's one thing that I would change is I would make the industry maybe a little more healthy, health conscious industry. Because you don't want to stain for 10, 20 years and die. You kind of like to enjoy the fruits of your labor. But that's one thing I would wave a magic wand on. But getting on to how we try to help other contractors and things, I guess, and I may get your input on this, the biggest thing, if I could wave my wand over the average guy who's thinking about going in business, you know, I can't tell you how many guys I've met that make $28,000, $32,000 a year, and maybe they ran their staining business or their whatever, their lawn mowing, whatever, and they made an extra 28,000 mowing yards on the weekends. And they go, well, I ask them, why don't you go full time? And they go, well, you know, got really good insurance at work. And, man, I can't give up that insurance. And I'm going, man, you can make six figures easily and buy insurance. You know, it's no big deal. And so many people I feel like are, afraid and they don't discover their true potential because they're held back by little things like that. So I try to, you know, obviously I don't want to tell a lazy bum to quit his day job and try to go get after it and lose his insurance. But I'm looking for those guys that are gritty and who want to make a change. And that's where I'm going to push them. I'm going to say, hey, forget about the insurance, forget about this stuff. Let's move this business full speed ahead. And when we get to the point where we can, let's go full time. And I try to help guys walk them through that process because I've been through it, mm-hmm. and I know it can be done, and I know it can be a huge benefit to your family, you know, going from A to Z, I guess, in the being a contractor. Right, you said it before too, you know, contractors deal in big numbers.
Yeah. Hey, have you joined the Contractor Fight Club yet? Listen, this is a personalized, low cost coaching program to help you make the leap from craftsman to business owner. All right. Listen, you're probably really kick ass at the thing that you do with the saw, the hammer, the paintbrush, whatever it is. But unfortunately, if you're like most contractors, you haven't developed your skills as a business owner yet. And that's why I started the Contractor Fight Club. And so listen, we will dig into what it means to know your numbers, how to get your phone to ring, how to build a team that you don't have to babysit, and a bunch of other stuff. All right. And listen, when you join the Contractor Fight Club, you get access to my monthly fight night training calls that we blow your minds with a couple hours of training every month on those. And you'll also get direct access to me where through our app, you'll be able to connect with me, pick my brain, ask me questions, and get direct help in your business in a private forum just between you and I that only you and I see. And then finally, you'll get instant access to all the past fight nights that we've done over the past year. So listen, if this is something that that is piquing your interest, head to the contractorfight.com/fight-club and check out what we got going there. And I'd love to see if you're a fit for this. Let's kick the crap out of your goals in 2019 in your business. Join the Contractor Fight Club today. So let's take that guy who's making 30 grand a year, 35 a year. Let's just think of that guy for a minute here. What advice do you give to him to get to 100 grand a year in his pocket within the next 12 to 18 months?
The first thing I would do is, you know, a lot of guys tell me, hey, I'm going to go next spring. I'm going to go full time. So I'm thinking about lowering my prices. And mm-hmm. The first thing I'll say is, well, that's wrong. In my opinion, you need to raise your prices. Go ahead and raise them. And that way that'll buy you some more profit. That'll buy you some more time, because when you go full time, you're going to have to be knocking on doors, man. If you think you're going to get to $100,000 by two Facebook ads, you're wrong. You've mm-hmm. got to go out here. And the best advice I could give a guy in our line of business is to make friends with everybody. If you want to stain fences, go find the guys who build them, make friends with them. give them options, subcontract for them, or just take care of their clients when they're done. But either way, you've got to go out there. And if there's 200 fence builders in your town, you better talk to every one of them. And you better talk to them once a week, you know, or every day if you can. You need to be
Caleb, well, I don't have time for that.
Yeah. Come you get that cell phone out and text everybody.
Man, that would take me forever. Well, when am I supposed to do that, man? I got to work.
Hey, let's do the math. If there's 100 guys, we can do 20 a day. That's 100 guys a week. It's so 40 a day, we could do 200 every week.
I don't know what to say, man. I mean, it's going to take me a while to get my script ready and what I'm going to send them in a text or an email. And I mean, it's like it take a month before I'm able to even pull the trigger on the first one, man.
Yep. That's what I hate. I hate hearing that, man. I like to see some action. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, if you're driving by whoever fence company, call them up. Hey, man, you got time for lunch? Of course, they're going to say no. Oh, well, catch you next time. There you go. You've touched them.
Yeah.
And you can move on. You can text pictures and say, hey, I just stained, you know, if you're working for a guy and you stained a fence for Big Red's fence company, send them a picture of their fence stained with their sign on it. Go, hey, just stain this fence for you. Love to do the rest of them. Boom. Text message is done in 15 seconds. So,
you
got to take action. You got to take massive action if you want things to happen. A lot of guys sit on their butt and just expect things to land in their lap, but it's, you know that, you know.
So here is the phrase that led to millions of dollars of sales for me. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
I would see you. Let's say you're that fence company, fence builder, and I happen to be a contractor that stains fences. I would literally, it's this simple, and you got to do it immediately, man. If you wait, time kills deals, basically. Don't wait. Mm-hmm. So I would pick the phone up, and I would go, hey, man, are you the guy that's building that fence there? on Main Street or whatever? And like, yeah, that's our company. I'm like, hey, well, listen, you build fences, I stain fences. I just thought it made sense for us to know each other.
Yep.
That is it. Caleb, that is the exact phrase that I would use. Like, hey, you build houses, I paint houses. I thought it makes sense for us to know each other. Sometimes they'd hang up on me. I remember one time, dude, there was this home builder in our town. He was putting up homes all over the place when the economy was just killing it. They were doing all these tear downs and stuff, right? And they'd tear down this $150,000 house and put up $1 million house. And I walked into one of his job sites. It was like late in the day and the house was still open. And I walked in to like look at the paint job because they were in there, doing a bunch of work. And I called the number on the sign while I was standing in the library of his house, this empty new construction home. And I'm like, hey, are you the builder? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, I paint stuff and you build homes and I'm standing in your house on Prairie Avenue right now. And he was like, yeah. Like he was like, what the hell? And I go, dude, I don't know what you're paying, but you're totally getting hosed on your paint job here. This is too nice of a house to have a shit paint job like this. And the next day we had lunch and he handed me a set of plans and I did his work for like 3.5-4 years.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect. Sometimes, some people will really take offense to that, but most contractors are gritty guys. And when you tell them that, they love it. They said, that's my guy.
Yeah. And so the point here is not to say exactly what I say or do things the way you do. You and I are, I think, a little more aggressive than the average guy when it comes to prospecting. The point here is you got to do it and you got to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And, hence what you said earlier about, yeah, most don't reply to me till, it's like 4 or 5 contacts. And then finally they cave. There was this chick who reached out to me, one of these B2B list companies. They sell a list, a mailing mm-hmm. list.
Yep.
Dude, she called and emailed me every week. Once was a call, once was an email. I didn't reply once. I never answered any of the voicemails. I never answered the phone for over 6 months until one day one of my clients was talking about getting a list for their business. And guess who I referred?
Yeah. Hey.
It was her. And she got work out of it, because she was persistent. So I respected just her commitment. Never met her, never talked to her, gave the info to my client. My client called him up and hired him. So there you go.
I've heard stories of guys that said, I've been calling on some companies. I know one company I've been calling on them for 17 years. And he said, I'm going to close them one day. So
mm-hmm.
that's the way it is. You got to go get it and you got to, what's the old saying? Kill something and drag it home. That's
there
it.
There you go. So you touched on social media a little bit earlier. I know in your podcast, you've had a few episodes where you guys are talking about success with that. What, How are you using it to grow your business? What's happening there? What can you share with us?
So I first started out by just showcasing what I was doing. So on a job site, I'm staining a fence or a deck. I'm saying, hey, look what I just did. Look at me, world. And started really doing that a whole lot. And that's when about the same time I started calling all these other companies and trying to learn. They said, hey, I've seen you. How do you do this? I've seen you on Facebook Live or on a video doing this. You know, give me a tip here or there. And so maybe I gained a little notoriety with other contractors, but I didn't find a whole lot of closed jobs from Facebook. I'm sure we did, but I've found that being a contractor in my area, really having a good website that has a good call to action and a good Google ranking is really hard to beat right now. It'll probably be like the phone book one day and that'll all go away. But right now I've found that we close way more percentage of work on people that actually take time out of their day to look us up and call us or go to our website. The ones on Facebook and Instagram, it's still kind of new to us, but the Facebook people, they're a lot of times they're tire kickers. You know, they're scrolling and they see something and it's like a squirrel flashing in front of their eye. They might reach out and, you know, we close some of those, but the ones that reach right out to us right off the internet, go to the website, boom. I mean, that's just about a guaranteed sale. So we try to nurture those. But I think with social media, I think you just need to be there. You need to be constantly present. You got to post, you know, all the time if you want to stay on the top of people's feed. Mm-hmm. And people aren't going to do business with you if they don't know you. So you got to get in front of their face.
So what, as we kind of bring this to a close, what you got the ears of tens of thousands of contractors. I mean, dude, you got people in like Sweden. We've had people in Uganda listen to this thing. We got a ton of people in Australia, New Zealand. We got Canada, all over the world listening to the show. So the stage is yours. And what would you like to share that will help them be better?
Well, there's so many things. Obviously, I would ask everybody, no matter where you are, if you're thinking about getting into some line of work, if you're not a contractor, or if you are a contractor, maybe you're a GC and you want to, maybe you're thinking about hiring a staining crew, maybe you're in the fence business or a painting contractor and you're thinking about adding staining on, I can show you how to make money doing it. And I'd love to help you do it, whether you use our products or not. That doesn't matter. I get a thrill out of helping people succeed. And so I'd love for you to go to the Stain and Seal Experts podcast, check that out, or the Stain and Seal Experts Fence and Deck Staining University Facebook group. You know, I would love you to get on there. And if you're already in the business, there's a lot of guys that need help. So get on the group and post some tips, you know, tell us what you're doing. That's what I would say. Love to help some more people.
Well, good stuff, man. And so if somebody's in the Nashville area, they want to come work for you, they want to buy your stain, they want to, talk to you about, you know, doing work with them. Maybe it's a GC in the area or something like that. What's the best way to find you there?
Oh yeah. Go to stainandsealexperts.com. Okay. You can check us there. We're at Stain and Seal Experts on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us anywhere, but yeah, we'd love to have some guys in Nashville come take care of this, run these stain jobs for us. And, we'd love to sell you some stain if you want to find a good, low VOC oil-based stain.
Sounds like a plan, man. Well, listen, I appreciate you being here and sharing all that with us. I wish I would have known you, I don't know, 15 years ago when I was getting my butt kicked staining fences, man.
So. No, that's it. That's it, man. There's no school for it yet. So that's right. I guess we need to write the book.
Sounds like you do, man. Well, listen, I appreciate you being here, Caleb. And with that, Travis, bring in the guitars. We'll see you guys next time on The Fight.
All right. Thanks, Tom.